Thank you, choir, for leading us, and Dustin, and Miss Karen, Miss Christy, Feliciano. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Just as a way of heads up, I'm going to be in several different places in Scripture today. All the other places we're going today will be on the screen. So I'm not going to give you time to get there. So if you want to follow along as I read, the Scriptures will be on the screen. I want to start this morning actually reading several commands we have in Scripture, kind of from the front of the Bible to the back of the Bible. So you can follow along on the screen as I read. I'm going to start in 1 Chronicles in the Old Testament, chapter 16, verse 34. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Hebrews 12, verse 28. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. And then our passage for today, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We often give thanks based on our present circumstances, our health, our financial security, our homes, our families, perhaps our jobs, our income. The list goes on and on. We often give thanks about, as Christians, about our future circumstances in heaven with our Lord for all of eternity, where there will be no more sin, no more suffering, no more tears. We give thanks about the big things, being with our Lord in eternity. We give thanks for the small things in eternity, like streets of gold and mansions bright and beautiful. But some of us find ourselves in circumstances today where the things that we normally thank the Lord for, our health, our wealth, our family, are eroding. And it begs a question, if all those things are absent in our lives, our present circumstances that we normally give thanks to the Lord for, if all those things are absent, and perhaps even suffering is present, then is there anything to give thanks to the Lord for outside of what we will have in the future with Him? And the answer to that question, believer, is yes. There are present, numerous, and we won't hit them all today, but there are numerous present and permanent blessings that the Lord has given to us, given to those who are in Christ, that are not dependent on circumstances. And so What we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at six of those, what I'm calling present and permanent. I'm calling present because if you are in Christ, in other words, if you're a Christian, you've repented of your sins and turned to Christ in faith for the forgiveness of your sins, then you are in Him. You are in Jesus, in Christ. And if you are in Christ, you have things today, presently, here and now, that are present, but they're also permanent. In other words, you could lose everything right here and now and still have these present and permanent blessings. And like I said, we're not going to hit all of them, but we're going to hit six of them today, and we're going to hit them quickly. And if you're in Christ today, I hope you will leave with many reasons to be thankful, encouraged, even in the midst of suffering today. If you're not a Christian today, I hope that you will see there is so much in Christ to be had. First and foremost, Him. But with Him and in relationship to Him, we have so many things to be thankful for. So I hope that as we look at Scripture, your thirst for Jesus increases. My hope for you today is if you're not in Christ, is that you would be by the end of today. Let's pray. Father, we do love you. We stand in awe of you. Lord, we're coming into a season that is hard for so many because of things they've experienced in the last year, because this season is characterized by time with family, and for whatever reason that has changed. And so the season will be hard. We're entering into a season where we're counting our blessings, and perhaps for some who are here or who are listening, the number of blessings that they're counting this year is less than last year. And so, Lord, we ask for your comfort. We ask that you would comfort us with the truth of your word, with the presence of your Spirit, and that you would increase our thankfulness, so that our joy in you might increase today. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Are you ready? All right, let's dive in. So here's our verse that's going to be guiding us. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks, not in some circumstances, but in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You could say for y'all, for the church. It is the will of God for us to give thanks in every circumstance. Today we're going to look at many reasons why. Present and permanent spiritual blessing, or blessing number one, the presence of God. Psalm 46 says this, verse 1 actually, the Lord of hosts is with us. In the New Testament, Matthew 28:20 says this, Jesus, speaking to his followers, which also applies to us, he says, I am with you always. Presence of God. Throughout Scripture, God's people hold tightly to this promise that he is always with us, regardless of our circumstances. And we find in Scripture that this truth is always applied to the people of God when they're staring into adversity. In other words, when their circumstances seem to be circling the toilet, God says, fear not, I'm with you. You look at Psalm 46, 1 and 2, it's as if David is staring into the face of something he should probably be very scared of. But this is what he writes, inspired by the Holy Spirit. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Deuteronomy 31, 6. As the people of God are preparing to go into a land where there are people that are more prepared for battle and simply just bigger than they are, they receive this command, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, what we often refer to as the Great Commission, Jesus' command to all of his followers throughout time to go and to follow him and lead others to follow him. Go, therefore, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you to the end of the age. The presence of God. If you are in Christ today, he is with you. Those who are in Christ are accompanied by Christ in every circumstance. What a blessing. Present and permanent blessing number two, the sovereignty of God. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, Jacob says to his brothers who treated him very badly, he says, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." So Joseph, in reflecting on some very crummy circumstances for decades, looks at those circumstances and says, those circumstances were terrible, and the people who brought them about meant for it to be my destruction. But God meant it for good and used it for good. See, Joseph was reflecting on the fact that God was sovereign even over his suffering. He was in control. He was using those circumstances to bring about Joseph's good, but not only Joseph's good, but many others' good, that they should be kept alive. In Romans 8, Paul reflects on this same truth. He applies it to the entire church, to everyone who is in Christ. He says this, "For I consider," this is chapter 8, verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." He talks about that for a moment, and then we get on down to verse 28. With sufferings in view, Paul says this, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." So Paul says the same thing that Joseph said. The difference between what Paul and Joseph said is Paul is saying this about everyone who is a Christian, everyone who is in Jesus. He says this, "In every circumstance, whether bad or good, God is in control, he's sovereign, and he's using it for the good of those who are in Christ." God is sovereign over the best circumstances, and he's sovereign over the worst circumstances. And believer, brother or sister, he is using all of those circumstances for our good. We may not know how. We may not be given the understanding of how while we are here on this earth. But we can know that he is. And trust that he is. The sovereignty of God. What a blessing. Present and permanent blessing number three. The strength of God. Are you still with me? The strength of God. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. He talks about good and bad circumstances. Listen, "I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." It's not about a football game, is it? It's about the believer following Christ and having his strength to do his will, whether they're in seasons of blessing or in a season of suffering. Paul says, "Jesus strengthens me to do his will." to follow him, to continue to move forward. Brother or sister, do you know that in walking through the best days and walking through the worst days, Jesus is there with his strength to give to you so that you can get through those days, whether bad or good, so that you can get through them well. The strength of God. When you look at the day and you say, I don't know how I'm going to get to 10 a.m., much less 8 p.m., and do this well. Believer, God's strength is there for you. What a blessing. This was true of Noah, Moses, Joshua, David, and this is true of us. For those in Christ, there's nothing that God calls us to do that he won't give us strength to do. What a blessing, the strength of God. Number four, present and permanent blessing number four, the protection of God. Y'all are awful quiet today. The protection of God. John chapter 10, this is Jesus talking. Such comforting words. He says this, my sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Here's the picture. We are the sheep. We belong to Jesus. We are in Jesus' hands. Jesus and the Father are one. We are in the Father's hands, and he is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch anything or anyone out of the Father's hands, and we are in his hands. We have the protection of God. Romans 8, that same passage we looked at earlier, I encourage you to go read that whole chapter when you have time. Romans 8, 35 through 39, Paul is reflecting on the protection of God for those who are in Christ. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So brother or sister, you may be looking at your circumstances and you may say, if things get any worse, I don't know how I'm going to hold on to my faith. Wonderful news for you this morning. You are in God's hand. And no one can snatch you out. You could put it like this. Is there anything that can separate me from the love of God that I have found in Jesus? And the answer from both John 10 and Romans 8 is no. There's not anyone that can separate you from the love of God, and there's not anything that can separate you from the love of God. Not even you. You have the protection of God. What a blessing. Present and permanent blessing number five. The forgiveness of God. 1 John 1:9. A promise to the church. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is ever ready to forgive us and ever ready to cleanse us from our sin. Ever ready. Believer, he is ready to forgive you right now from our dumb words yesterday and our laziness this morning. He is ever ready to forgive us for years of not obeying him on a particular area. Ever ready to forgive us. Not only that, but to cleanse us from the filth of our sin. You have the forgiveness of God in Christ. On your best days, in the best circumstances, in the midst of glorious blessings on this earth, you have the forgiveness of God. And in the worst days, in the midst of unimaginable suffering, you have the forgiveness of God in Christ. What a blessing. Number six, present and permanent blessing, that nothing and no one can tear from you if you are in Christ, the ear and heart of God. Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7 says this, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, that is, the hearts of believers, men and women, boys and girls, who have placed faith in Jesus and repented of their sins. He has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.'" That's the word for daddy. Daddy, Father. "So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." In Christ, you have been adopted by God as His son or daughter. And as His son or daughter, you have His ear. Oh, believer, you have His ear. At any time, with anything, you have His ear. And you have His heart. In the midst of the best days, in the midst of the worst days, you have His ear and His heart. The ear and the heart of the sovereign God. You have it if you are in Christ. What an incredible blessing. If you have repented of your sins and turned to Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, you have these things. Regardless of your circumstances today. The presence of God, the sovereignty of God, the protection of God, the strength of God, the forgiveness of God, and the ear and heart of God. You have them, and nothing can change that. And today we're going to continue in worship in a few moments by taking communion. Remembering what God did so that we could have a relationship with Him in which we have these things. Remembering His Son, Jesus, His perfect life, His death on the cross for us, His resurrection for us. Remembering His broken body and He's poured out blood on our behalf so that we might have a relationship with God. So that in every circumstance, we can give thanks to God. If you're a Christian, we're encouraged by 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in taking the Lord's Supper to prepare our hearts to do that. To confess sin, to give thanks, to remember what Christ has done for us in the cross. So in a moment, we're going to sing a song we've already sang this morning, "Worthy is the Lamb." And as we sing, you can bow your hearts there. You can come forward and pray. You can stand and sing and give thanks through song. However the Lord's leading you to prepare your heart to take communion, I want to encourage you to do that. If you're not a Christian and you're not in Christ today, I want to be very clear. The Lord's table is not for you, but it is an invitation to you. It's an announcement to you. As those who are in Christ celebrate His broken body on their behalf, it was also broken for you. And those who are in Christ celebrate His cleansing blood poured out on their behalf, it was also poured out for you. So the invitation to you is not to come to the table this morning, The invitation to you is to turn from your sin and run to Jesus and give your heart to Him. Be found in Christ. And then remember what He's done for you by coming to the table. However the Lord's leading you to respond today, I want to invite you to respond as we sing, prepare our hearts to come to the table this morning. Let's pray. Father, we love you dearly. Lord, we